Welcome to the Sean Stevenson Show. I'm Sean Stevenson, your host and professional speaking guide. You have a message to share, and I can teach you how to get it to millions. The Sean Stevenson Show, the best resource for building a lucrative speaking business and a fulfilling life. Enjoy the show. Hello, my friends. Behind closed doors, there are so many things that go on in a speaker's life before they get on stage. And I'm talking about the preparing, the planning, and the practice the speaker goes through before a presentation. And each speaker has their own way of putting together material. Each speaker has their own rituals that they do before they leave for their speech, when they are at the hotel getting ready, and then even moments before they get out on stage. And every speaker's system is different. There is no right or wrong way to get your mind and your material ready for a presentation. However, I'm going to be sharing with you a few of the things that I do to plan, prepare, practice for my presentations. And it's extremely appropriate right now because I'm going through these stages right now for a speech that I'm leaving for tomorrow in San Francisco. I'll be speaking to about 500 individuals in the hospitality industry, people that are responsible for booking large events where they may have up to 1,000 or 2,000 rooms in their room block. And they could be working with conferences or companies. And I'm going to be speaking to them about, well, a lot of things. But much of it is mixing my material that I teach all over the world with a lot of customizations for their industry. And so that brings me to the planning and preparing way of getting ready behind closed doors. When I was putting together this speech, I had probably a 30 to 45 minute call with the individuals responsible for the conference, the people that hired me, and we sat down on a pre-presentation call to go through the event, to talk about everything from how I like to enter on stage to what is their industry like. And you'll find as you develop your speaking career, you're going to have at least one to maybe three, usually it's not more than three, pre-speech calls with the individuals that are responsible for the conference. The bigger the conference, oftentimes the more intense those calls can be. Many of them can be very uniform, and they sound the same in every time in every industry, but you still have to go through it because they're spending a lot of money on you, and they are wanting to make sure that they have done their due diligence to prepare you best for their crowd and their conference. So in this most recent speech that I'm preparing for, what I did is I met with them for 45 minutes, and I asked as many questions as I could think about their conference. How long have they been running their conference? Where do people come in from? Are they coming in from all around the world, or is it just a regional? What are their conference speaker lineup list, so I know what other kind of speakers they have on the docket? I want to know how many speakers are going before me. Is there a meal before me? What do they do immediately after I have spoken? I want to know what the room layout looks like. I want to know what kind of seating chart do they have. Is it at round tables, or is it long rows, or in classroom style behind long rectangular tables? Will there be a center aisle? Will there be a huge gap between the first row and the stage? How high is the stage? Will there be a jumbotron that I will be filmed on and that the back rows will be able to watch my facial expressions on the jumbotron screen? These are all the questions that I ask, and many more, before I get there. Because as a performer and a educator, which is kind of what you are as a speaker. You're both bringing entertainment and education to the experience. You want to have all the necessary details that you can get before you ever show up. Why does this matter? Well, it matters because then that gives you the best odds for success. You'll know if this event is something that's brand new and they're going to be having a lot of bugs to work through, or is this something that they've been doing for decades and has been humming along and they've figured out all the kinks, and this is one of the easiest conferences out there to present to because everybody knows everything down to the final seconds of the event, and it's been smoothed out, and everything's unfolding as clockwork. So you want to know what kind of people you're also dealing with. Who are the on-location people when you land? Who are you talking to for your transportation if anything goes wrong? Who do you talk to for your lodging if there are any problems? All of these things need to go in to the pre-speech routine. And those are the logistics. I'm going to be talking to you also about the content. You know, when I'm getting to know an audience, I want to know what keeps them up at night. So the people in the audience, you know, what kind of salaries do they get? Do they earn commission? Are these individuals mostly younger or older? Are they a married crowd? Do they have a lot of experience in their industry? Or are most of the people in the audience new to their industry? The more details I know about the audience, the better prepared I am when I'm putting together the material. Some speakers spend a ton of time preparing for their presentations, and others just show up and just do the same thing and just crush it. And there is no wrong way to do it. It's the style that you develop, and can you get paid really good money and get great reviews and therefore get referrals from each speech? That's all that really matters. Now, when I'm putting together my material like I was for this upcoming hospitality event, I asked the event coordinators if they would allow me to interview people that are going to be in the audience in advance. I want to talk to people that are making the most money in sales in this industry and new people that are just starting out. I want to talk to people who are in different demographics. I want to get to know this industry. And so they set up 4 meetings with me. Now, I will say they were all video conference meetings so that I could get to know the individuals, ask questions. And what's interesting is when you ask people who are in an industry to talk to you, they'll give you some more dirt. They'll give you some more insider information than the people who are running the conference itself. The people running the conference itself will give you their angle, of course. But when you get into the inner workings of an industry, you can find out what's really going on. And that will help you put together your comedy, see what's appropriate to say, see what some of the buzzwords are, find out what some of their jargon, what are some of the things that the industry is annoyed by, what are some of the things that people are shooting for, what are some of their goals. And all these questions are what I interviewed the 4 individuals that were set up with conference calls with me. Now, I will say, and this is something you need to prepare yourself for, only 50%, so 2 out of the 4 people that had the calls ended up showing up to the calls. But that was enough for me. I was able to get a lot of insider information so that as I was putting together the content in my note cards, I had plenty of things to reference. You know, I have been doing this for 23 years, so when I'm putting together a speech, I don't write out word for word what I'm going to say. I would say most of what I do is in bullet forms. Bullet point is the way I prepare my speeches. I will keep reorganizing stories that I'm going to tell as bullet points. Maybe just use 1 or 2 words to jog my memory which story I'm going to use. I write down some of the activities that I might have the audience do. Things like get in small groups, turn to their neighbor, all the different things that you might do to break up the monotony of your own voice. And then, what are the key points? See, stories, activities, and points are what matter. What are the things that you want them to leave with? What are the takeaways? And this is important also. When I'm interviewing the event planners, the people putting on the conference that signed my check to pay me for the event, I want to know what do they consider a success? So I ask them oftentimes, if your conference attendees were leaving my presentation right afterwards and you were overhearing some of the things that they were saying, what kind of things would you like to hear? So the conference coordinator, those are the actual customer, not the people in the audience. You have to be clear that who hires you is the event planner or the committee, and those are the people you want to do right by because they are essentially your boss. Now, of course, if you do a phenomenal job at speaking to the attendees and you hit the objectives of the event coordinator, now you have a grand slam. So a lot of times by asking that question, what would be considered a success if your attendees at your event were saying this afterwards? What would they be saying? Now, for me, they often say things like, "This speaker blew my mind. It was worth the time. I really opened up and felt more like I could be vulnerable. I laughed. I cried. I had such a great experience. I'm so glad I came to this conference. My mind on what I could do was blown open, and I see now that I have unlimited potential." These are the things that the conference coordinators will say to me as their indicators of success. So then I need to work backwards when I'm putting together the material to make sure that we hit those objectives. If they say things like, "You know what? I was calmed down. My stress was relieved. I'm not as scared to try things in my job." You know, that's going to get a different set of material from me and how I organize it. Now, be clear, when I'm putting together my material, most of what I say is the same thing, but it's said differently. Because if I'm speaking to 1,000 sales individuals, that's going to be different than 500 people that are custodians that make sure the building are clean. So you have to know your audience, and when you're putting together your material, you want to put it together in a way that fits you. Some people write out word for word what they're going to say and then try to condense it from there. You don't want to read your speech. If you do, they are not going to want to ever hire you again unless they have a teleprompter and you have it all worked out in advance. More than likely, they are going to want you to know your own speech from memory. I still use bullet points on my phone. Some people will take notes up to a podium. It all depends on what you're comfortable with and what you can really comfortably and casually pull off with your audience. So we talked about how I put together the speech before I get there and talking to the people, interviewing attendees. Putting things in bullet points and reorganizing my stories, activities, and points. But I want to talk to you about the day of, maybe the day I'm traveling in. I usually go out of my way to get there the night before, especially if it's a morning or midday speech. I don't like flying in the day of. Sometimes that's the only option that you get. However, I find that that leaves zero room for error in travel. Zero room for margin of error for weather that might roll into either the city you're leaving from, the city you're entering, or any of the flyover states in between. And let me tell you, weather has had an impact on my career. In the 23 years that I've been a speaker, I think I've missed a total of five presentations, and for years, it was only one because of a really bad weather storm. The other four came from medical issues that I had, being in the emergency room and not being able to be at the event. But I must say, for 23 years, for all those years, that I think it came down to like 18 of the 23 years, I only had one speech that was missed, and that was because of weather, and that's why I decided never again. I'm always going to go in the night before, just to give myself a little bit more time, and I recommend that for you as well. Then on the day of, what I like to do is I continue like to look at my notes, reorganize my stories, my activities, my points. Sometimes I will rehearse some things in the shower, or I will rehearse things in the mirror, even after all these years. I might not rehearse a specific story that I know inside and out, but I might rehearse certain aspects that I've customized for that event. Now, I will tell you, here's a little trick that I do. I never tell anybody my comical points ahead of time, because I found if you try to tell somebody your jokes ahead of time, more than likely they're going to be like, nah, that's not funny. But what they don't understand is an audience, a large group of people, react to humor differently than one-on-one or maybe one-on-two people. And this is why when you're putting together your comical parts, you have to know that it's going to have a different experience over a large crowd. And the only way to tell, usually, is to try out material with maybe groups of 100, and then that'll give you a good idea for a group of 1,000. And I will say, anybody that has spoken to over 1,000 people, they will say, you only need to get about 10% of the audience to laugh, and that's 100 people, and then those 100 impact maybe another 300 to 400, and now you have a between 400 and 500 people laughing, and that is plenty of people laughing. You do need to know that when you are preparing your material, it's not just about making sure you know the content and the audience, but also you want to be able to do some mental rehearsal on, well, this is what I do, I should say, on sending out the energy to that audience in advance. Now, this sounds a little woo-woo, and I'm going to need you to hang in there for a minute, but I'm a big believer in energy. I believe that energy flows between human beings based on our attitude, our mindset, what we're focused on. And so when I'm preparing energetically for my material, especially maybe a few hours beforehand, I'll be in the shower, I'll have the hot water on my chest, and I will visualize energy coming out of my heart and going out into the audience that I'm soon to be speaking to. And I see threads of energy from my heart to every single person in the room, and I visualize what they might be going through. Some of the pain and the struggles that the individuals in the audience are going through. And I feel a tremendous sense of empathy and a huge wave what a privilege it is to be able to be presenting to this crowd. I also send myself energy in the future. I see myself doing well on stage. And I tell myself, Sean, no matter what comes out of your mouth, no matter how things flow, I want you to know that it is a huge deal to be presenting to these people. I'm proud of however it goes, and I believe in you. Now, again, might sound cheesy, but I like to set my mind up to win in advance. All right. So I've been thinking, you must make health a high priority if you want to be a wealthy speaker. Of course, I know speakers that are out of shape. However, the wealthy individuals in the industry that I am in, a personal growth and success in business, these individuals know that travel takes a toll on the body, and so you need to get the mind and the body right. This means when you're on the road, you don't want to eat crappy food, you don't want to keep yourself with a ton of caffeine propped up, and you don't want to drink on the job or do drugs or do anything that is going to slow your reaction time when you are preparing for your speech and while you are at the event itself. Remember, health creates wealth. And even for my speeches, I make sure to really go out of my way the day and maybe a few days before the event to prepare my body for the travel. As speakers, Your calendar is determined by your health. If you are sick, you have to cancel events on your calendar, and they may have paid you 6 months or a year in advance. You can't afford to be unhealthy. Health creates wealth in the speaking industry. Lastly, my speaker tip is this. Build a database one day at a time. Today I was working on building a database, meaning I was Googling conferences and events that take place in Phoenix and Scottsdale. And I was looking as far as, you know, late 2018, beginning of 2019, finding out what conferences are going to be in the area, and then Googling the conferences, associations, or conference coordinators' information so that I can start contacting them and say, hey, did you know I'm a local speaker? My assistant and I were working on this today, building a database one day at a time, finding what conferences are in your area. If you tell them you're able to give a reduced rate because you're local and they don't have to pay for travel, you're able to sometimes sneak into a program and get on the docket over top of those large names that they're going to have to pay big fees and travel on top of. So there you go, my friends. Remember to sign up for our Facebook group by going to facebook.com/groups/lucrative speaker. That's where we continue this discussion. I get to know you personally. I interact there. I respond to comments. I put up videos and content only for people that are a part of the Lucrative Speaker Facebook group. Thanks for listening to this episode. Make sure and subscribe to the Sean Stevenson Show on iTunes and leave a review of the podcast. For more information and further conversation, head on over to our Facebook group, Lucrative Speaker. I'm Sean Stevenson, your professional speaking guide. I'll catch you next time on the Sean Stevenson Show. You've got a message. Let's get it to millions.